Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm here today with our Chair, Emmanuel Faubert, and we're recording this podcast at the end of our April Board Week in Frankfurt. So today we're going to chat about some recent events, talk about what we discussed at this week's board meeting, and take a little bit of a look ahead at what's coming up for the ISSB. So Emmanuel, maybe where do you want to start?
Thank you, Sue. Well, I will want to start by welcoming everyone to the Dog and Pony Show by ISSB, starring Sue Lloyd and myself. Welcome back for this month from Frankfurt. And let me start by saying that in Frankfurt this week, we signed and announced an MOU with TNFD. This will deepen the collaboration between the two organizations as we consider the TNFD recommendations in our research into the needs of global capital markets for information about nature-related risks and opportunities. This collaboration will advance our ongoing work to reduce the complexity, the alphabet soup, of the sustainability disclosure landscape while building on established expertise and practice, which is very much the case for our friends of TNFD. It's also a clear signal to the market that we're committing to reduce the fragmentation and still absolutely meeting the need for relevant and high-quality information for capital markets. So strengthening the global baseline with nature-related disclosures to meet investors' needs, including enhancing the industry-based SASB standard, that is a core focus of our work plan. And this ongoing collaboration and sharing of research and expertise will support our work forward more effectively. Sue, what's up on your side?
I was in Tokyo last week, which was great. So a big thank you to all of our wonderful stakeholders, both our Japanese stakeholders, but international visitors as well, who were there for our conference. Wonderful to be in Japan. Always great outreach and hospitality and friendship. And this time, bonus cherry blossoms. So the anchor event in Tokyo was our Integrated Thinking and Reporting Conference, which brought together me and my counterpart, Linda Maison-Hutter, who's the Vice Chair of the IASB, to engage with Japanese and international stakeholders, talking about the adoption of integrated thinking, progress on integrated reporting, including in Japan, where it's super popular. And also talking about sort of connections and between the work of the IASB and the ISSB. So I think it was I found it a really interesting conference. And it was great to see the progress in integrated reporting in Japan. There was a study that was shared with us that showed nearly 1,200 companies in Japan preparing integrated reports. And so, as I said in my keynote remarks, in Japan, because of the way they have this integrated thinking and this way of thinking about and reporting on creating value, they're super well positioned to provide information using IFRS S1 and IFRS S2. And it was good timing, the trip, because it is very soon since the publication by the Sustainability Standards Board of Japan, the SSBJ, of their inaugural standards, which are building on S1 and S2. And actually, just last week when I was in Japan, the SSBJ published a schedule of differences, which sets out the few differences between the SSBJ standards and the S1 and S2 to really enable people to understand where those are. And we were really pleased to be able to confirm that we had reviewed that schedule of differences and concluded that the SSBJ standards are designed to provide outcomes that are functionally aligned with the ISSB standards, which means in simple language that the information provided using those standards can be compared with the ISSB information, which is beneficial for investors and preparers. And while I was in Japan, I took the opportunity to see lots of stakeholders, including the FSA, the regulator, the Securities Analysts Association, also met with our corporates, with Kate and Ren, and also with the accounting profession, both with JICPA and IFAC were in town. So lots of opportunities to engage, and came back not feeling jet lagged, rather feeling energized from my time in Japan. So with that, Emmanuel, what else have we been up to?
Thank you, Sue, and thanks for being, you know, on the road with our partners and stakeholders. One point I'd like to share with our audience is also how thrilled I was personally with the launch of the roadmap development tool at the end of last month. Just taking just a step back, last year at the IO School's general meeting in May, we introduced our jurisdictional adoption guide and said that it would be complemented by ancillary but necessary more concrete tools. And with the creation by the Global Emerging Market Committee of IO School in December of a group that assembles nearly 30 jurisdictions that would be an adoption, an ISSB adoption network within the Global Emerging Market Committee. With that, and the fact that this group will hold its second meeting in May in Doha, Qatar, for the General Assembly of the IO School, we were very keen that this very concrete roadmap development tool would actually be ready for that. So we were more than ready. It's now available since the back end of last month. And it basically is a tool that helps jurisdictions to navigate the main considerations that are likely to arise as they develop a detailed plan for adopting or otherwise using the ISSB standards. It will also support both jurisdictions assess the implications of their decisions and outcomes and how the IFRS Foundation will describe their jurisdictional approaches through jurisdictional profiles. And through your description of how SSBJ and ourselves have been working, comparing and cooperating around the level of alignment between the standards, I think is a very concrete example on how we can ascertain for the global markets the level of alignment that is reached by jurisdictions' efforts in their approach to the use of the ISSB standards. And so this roadmap development tool will support the jurisdictions, capital market regulators, standard setters to assess that important parameter for their global competitiveness. Interestingly, we held a launch event in London and a workshop that brought together our implementation partners. They're critical in the MDB world and many others because they will be supporting the regulators, the standard setters in the jurisdictions in using that tool for their proper strategy of adoption. Really grateful for the incredible feedback that we've received so far. And I would add that we also held a small but quite powerful roundtable with representatives from international, regional, jurisdictional bodies that support capacity building globally, as well as investors. Participants shared their perspective on how leveraging the global baseline of ISSB standards can support the strengthening of capital markets. So, building on all this constructive feedback, we intend to develop further materials and tools that can support jurisdictions further. So, let's start with this big milestone of the roadmap development tool, and we'll take it from there. You were at the launch of this event, Sue, and maybe do you have a few further thoughts to share?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be there, and really, all I can say is, what a great atmosphere of cooperation and interest and great discussions about the different considerations in different jurisdictions and some of the key things to encourage jurisdictions to think about as they develop these work plans. We spent actually 2 days with this group of people, and it was really high energy, highly engaged, and I think really people are super enthusiastic about going out and being engaged in these important jurisdictional conversations. And we are, very appreciative and reliant on these partners to help us, indirectly be in front of so many people and jurisdictions around the world who are looking hard and taking seriously these decisions around the use of our standards around the world. So thank you to those partners for all of that work and effort, both in London and much yet to come. It was a good atmosphere. Which brings us back, I think, now to the day job, Emmanuel, this business of standard setting that we're involved in, and this week's board week. And this week we had a really important moment actually in our research work. So our listeners will know that for some time now we've been looking at research on nature, biodiversity, ecosystems and ecosystem services and human capital. And this week we reached a significant milestone, which was the end of the first phase of this research, which meant that we were able to hear the sort of initial summary of findings that the staff have helped us walk through over the last months. And that found that there is definitely investor interest in information both about nature and human capital. And that interest really varies. The type of information varies very much by industries, activities, geographies, and in the case of nature, the particular types of entities where the information is of interest varies quite a bit. We also learned that investors are faced with significant challenges at the moment, actually getting the information that they need to inform their decision making on these two topics. And that there's a lack of comparability and consistency in the information that's provided, which makes it challenging for investors. We also see that when it comes to human capital, I think there's a very clear understanding of the links between sort of human capital topics, risks and opportunities, and the effects on entities' prospects. That's well understood. Whereas in the nature space, we're all still learning how exactly the relationship between risks and opportunities, nature-related ones, affect an entity's prospects. And so the sort of understanding in this area is still developing, and the measurement techniques are developing as well. In both cases, the disclosures are pretty inconsistent, the information that's available, and there's gaps in information. So I would say, at the highest level, it looks like there's evidence that we should do something. And that sort of takes us to the next phase of our research, which is now sort of connecting the dots, pulling together what we've learned, and really thinking about what do we do. And so we'll continue to have four things that we will focus on, the same four things we've been thinking about all through this work, making sure we're thinking about investor information needs, thinking about existing standards, including our own SASB standards and S1 that we can build on, and thinking about interoperability with both GRI and ESRS, connectivity with the financial statements, particularly the work of the IASB, and also making sure that what we're looking at is proportionate for different types of stakeholders around the world. So what we're doing now is really looking at what we're learning, and the staff will walk us through an analysis to determine what the need for standard setting is, how urgent is it, and how feasible are different potential standard setting solutions. And we need to balance those two things to work out our next steps. And for me, in a nutshell, the punchline for this whole next phase will be agreeing on the plan for how we address any further work on these topics. So what aspects of nature or human capital should we focus on? What should the scope of the work be, and how will we approach it? Do we do standard setting? Do we do educational materials? Do we not do something? And we need to look at that range of different outcomes and decide what the plan is for the next phase of work. So that should happen over the next few months, but it's a really important moment moving on to that sort of initial decision-making phase on the what to do front. So, Emmanuel, what else is front of mind for you?
Well, thank you, and equally excited about the great session that we had, this week, with very robust papers summarizing the first phase of research and opening the parameters for the second phase, really. So, just wanted to thank the staff for this great work and the whole board for our very robust, substantive conversation that led to great feedback, I think, to continue that work. And as we're on the technical front, I'd just like to say that we will be issuing an exposure draft on targeted amendments to IFRS S2 at the end of the month. So to you who listen to us, do keep a lookout for it. This is in response to market needs, and it will make it easier for preparers to apply our standards without impacting investors' information needs. an important moment for us because S2 is still a young standard. That's the first time we met it. And that's been based on very robust deliberations and the support of the transition implementation group that we have. Another thing that I'll just share personally is that I'll be in Washington, D.C. in 10 days' time to attend the World Bank Springs meeting and the IMF Springs meeting, and also meeting a number of multilateral development banks as part of these events. They are critical partners for us in the ability that we have to have every jurisdiction included in the baseline. It is not only a comprehensive baseline that answers all the needs of investors, including the highly sophisticated one, but it's also one that we have been tasked to create not as a truly inclusive and global baseline. And so, as you know, it's always a joy for me to see how many emerging markets and developing economies have seen value in the adoption of the standards. And all the multilateral development banks world is critical to support them in their pathway towards adoption. In New York Climate Week last year, we announced that we were about to further the partnership with the World Bank to support the adoption of not only the accounting standard, but also now the sustainability standards in emerging markets. And the World Bank itself has also embarked on the multi-year roadmap, which is aimed at aligning its climate and sustainability-related financial disclosures with the ISSB standards. I'll also use this opportunity, being in DC and the East Coast, to engage with a number of U.S. market stakeholders as part of our continued engagement process. And, we are driven by market and investor needs, and it will be useful to hear firsthand how investors in the U.S. are feeling about sustainability information in relation to particular, the usefulness of our standards. And so, finally, Sue, I think there's one more thing that is probably worth mentioning this month, which is that we have, and certainly you have been busy with the group that oversees the technical preparation for the SASB enhancement. And I thought it might be useful you share a few things, because there are some things coming.
Yes, so yes, hold the date, as they say. We'll have some exposure drafts coming out soon, hopefully by the end of June, proposing some important amendments and to enhance the SASB industry-based standards. So the documents we publish in June will cover be focused on nine industries. And proposing enhancements to update the SASB standards and to make sure the information is truly relevant for those using the standards all around the world. So, as I said, nine industries will be the focus. There'll also be some proposed amendments that affect other industries. So, for example, where we propose adjustments to metrics that are also used in other industry standards beyond the nine, we will propose, in some cases, amendments to align the disclosures. So these proposals won't just affect nine industries, although they will be the main focus. So look out for these. The exposure drafts and the will be a full IFRS Foundation exposure draft, which many of you know and love, with the proposals, the basis for conclusion, the questions that we want input on. They'll be published by the ISSB as a whole. Only slight difference in our due process is that we have a very close working relationship between a board advisor group who works really closely with the staff on these very fine, metrics, etc., that are in the SASB standards. But you'll get the usual 120 days to enjoy our proposals and to write back to us. And we're really looking forward to lots of you engaging around the world on these really important enhancements that, of course, support proportionate, high-quality disclosures on topics beyond climate in accordance with IFRS S1. So exposure draft at the end of April on the S2 amendments, and then look out for around the end of June for these SASB exposure drafts.
Thank you, Sue. And that opens the exposure draft season for us. We're all very excited because it's been a while. We hadn't done one. So busy summer for all of us. With that, I'd like to get this podcast to a close for this month. It was podcasted from sunny and cherry blossoming Frankfurt, and we all would like to host you in Montreal next month. Look forward to updating you from there, where you will have the pleasure with me to further listen to the nice voice of Sue Lloyd. Thank you all. Stay with us.
Thank you.
For the latest developments from either the International Sustainability Standards Board or the International Accounting Standards Board, make sure to subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website, www.ifrs.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player.